Telemachus did his father's will at once, calling out to his old nurse Eurycleia, "Quick, dear one, close the women up in their own quarters, till I can stow my father's weapons in the storeroom. Splendid gear lying about, neglected, black with soot since father sailed away. I was only a boy then, now I must safeguard them from the smoke." "High time, child," the loving nurse replied. "If only you'd bother to tend your whole house and safeguard all your treasures, tell me, who's to fetch and carry the torch for you? You won't let out the maids who'd light your way."
"Our friend here will," Telemachus answered coolly. "I won't put up with a man who shirks his work, not if he takes his ration from my stores, even if he's miles away from home." That silenced the old nurse. She barred the doors that led from the long hall, and up they sprang Odysseus and his princely son, and began to carry off the helmets, studded shields and pointed spears, and Pallas Athena strode before them, lifting a golden lamp that cast a dazzling radiance round about.
"Father," Telemachus suddenly burst out to Odysseus, "oh, what a marvel fills my eyes! Look, look there! All the sides of the hall, the handsome crossbeams, pinewood rafters, the tall columns towering, all glow in my eyes like flaming fire. Surely a god is here, one of those who rule the vaulting skies."
"Quiet," his father, the old soldier, warned him. "Get a grip on yourself, no more questions now. It's just the way of the gods who rule Olympus. Off you go to bed. I'll stay here behind to test the women. Test your mother, too. She in her grief will ask me everything I know."
Under the flaring torchlight through the hall, Telemachus made his way to his own bedroom now, where he always went when welcome sleep came on him. There he lay tonight as well till dawn's first light. That left the great king still waiting in his hall, as Athena helped him plot the slaughter of the suitors. Now down from her chamber came reserved Penelope, looking for all the world like Artemis or golden Aphrodite. Close to the fire her women drew her favourite chair, with its walls of silver and ivory, inlaid rings. The craftsman who made it years ago, Icmalius, added a footrest under the seat itself, mortised into the frame, and over it all was draped a heavy fleece. Here Penelope took her place, discreet, observant. The women, arms bared, pressing in from their quarters, cleared away the tables, the heaped remains of the feast, and the cups from which the raucous lords had drunk. Raking embers from the braziers onto the ground, they piled them high again with seasoned wood, providing light and warmth. And yet again Melantho lashed out at Odysseus. "You still here, you pest? Slinking around the house all night, leering up at the women? Get out, you tramp! Be glad of the food you've got, or we'll sling a torch at you, rout you out at once." A killing glance, and the old trooper countered, "What's possessed you, woman? Why lay into me? Such abuse, just because I'm filthy, because I wear such rags, roving round the country, living hand to mouth. But it's fate that drives me on. That's the lot of beggars, homeless drifters. I too once lived in a lofty house that men admired. Rolling in wealth I'd often give to a vagabond like myself, whoever he was, whatever need had brought him to my door, and crowds of servants I had, and lots of all it takes to live the life of ease, to make men call you rich. But Zeus ruined it all, God's will, no doubt. So beware, woman, or one day you may lose it all your glitter that puts your workmates in the shade. Or your mistress may just fly in a rage and dress you down, or Odysseus may return, there's still room for hope. Or if he's dead as you think and never coming home, well, there's his son, Telemachus, like father, like son, thanks to God Apollo. No women's wildness here in the house escapes the prince's eye. He's come of age at last." So he warned, and alert Penelope heard him, wheeled on the maid, and tongue-lashed her smartly. "Make no mistake, you brazen, shameless bitch. None of your ugly work escapes me, either. You will pay for it with your life. You will. How well you knew. You heard from my own lips that I meant to probe this strange